The Titans control the action against New England, and an embrace between Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. Tennessee 34, New England 10.
Yeah, all right, not really too much to say here this afternoon. Titans did a better job than we did in every part of the game, every phase of the game. So not a good day for us.
So I started the show this way last week. I'm going to start it again. All right, I guess on Tuesday I started it. Floyd, you ready?
Okay.
How about them Titans? How about them Titans? How about them Titans? A beatdown, a smackdown of the new freaking England Patriots. Let me be the first to say, I never, ever, ever saw this coming. I kind of saw it going the other way. Like, it was you who would get shut out in the second half. It was Brady who would go at your number one corner and annihilate him. That it would be their coach who would outfox your coach. Everything. Absolutely everything. How about them Titans? Floyd, what did you think of that big win yesterday?
I mean, I thought was probably as complete a game as they've played in a long time. I thought all three phases of the game played together. They once again, it appeared to me to be one of those games that Vrabel, you know, got everybody together and said, okay, now this is the way that we can win this game. Gave them a blueprint for a way to win it, and it worked out. I think, you know, when you needed a big play, you got it. You virtually eliminated big plays from their program, which is unusual. You were able to keep Brady with, I think at a point in time on TV, they said he had 18 straight incompletions or something like that. I have never seen Tom more befuddled, you know, just kind of, the Patriots looked like they were tired to me. I don't know why they would be, but that's kind of what it looked like to me. But I thought we ran the ball well. I thought we threw the ball very, very well. I thought Marcus was in the top of his game. Davis, even though he was going against supposedly their best corner, just ripped him. There was really not much that could happen from that standpoint. Then over on the other side of the ball, we got uncommon pressure from different people. I mean, you know, you figure Woodyard goes out and gets a sack and a half. Logan Ryan gets a sack. The little UCLA kid, the linebacker, gets a sack.
Jayon Brown.
Yeah, Brown. So, you know, you end up with different, none of them from your defensive linemen, even though they had to put pressure on them, but you got sacks there. I thought Woodyard really, after he got past the initial seam route and a man from hand coverage on a running back, I thought he was very, very productive. And the secondary was really, really good now. I mean, Adoree Jackson was off the charts. I thought Logan Ryan was outstanding on Jules. And even Butler. I mean, you didn't even hear Butler's name. You know, there wasn't much that he did wrong. I thought Byard was good in the run game, made a lot of very secure tackles. I think having Vaccaro back gave him a little bit of a spark. I mean, they carried the wood to him. I mean, they were as physical as I've seen them in a while. So not a lot to dislike about what went on with that game.
So I look at it like this. Yesterday is the best you can play. Now, look, New England, I think, look, they're headed into their bye. They had some injuries. And there were a couple of plays in that game where if it goes the other way, you know, the Jonnu Smith fumble, if that ball doesn't go out of bounds and New England gets it, how does that change the game? Adoree Jackson, who I thought was the best player in the game yesterday, if Adoree fumbles the ball on the punt return and New England gets it, how does that change the game? So you got every bounce. But New England, you know, they did not play very well. I'm not sure I've ever seen Tom Brady look that bad. And he looked bad yesterday. But that being said, this is the best you can play. And I was kind of talking to you about this before we went on the air, and it was like the Baltimore game, you kept saying, you know, if you were the coach, you would have them watch the film one time, and then you'd throw it away, and you'd say, we never talk about the Baltimore game again. because that's everybody playing as bad as they can play. Even Kern was awful in the Baltimore game. And this felt like the exact opposite of the Baltimore game. Everybody played well. You just went over the whole defense, and it was like, this guy played well, and that guy played well, and this guy played well. I mean, when Jonnu Smith is ripping off Patrick Chung, who's got like 4 Super Bowl rings, and Jonnu Smith is ripping him off and going down the sidelines for 25 yards, like, that tells you, okay, everybody is playing well today. Jennings, Batson, Lewis, Henry, Mariota, they all played well. The offensive line, the 3 guys in the middle who a lot of people have been very critical of, they played well in the whole game. I mean, Marcus steps up in the pocket, he makes play. This is the best the Tennessee Titans can play. I'm not sure we'll ever see them play like this again this year. But my goodness, was it something nice to watch yesterday. Oh, was it nice to watch. Just to see that kind of effort on both sides of the ball, coaching, playing, everything was fantastic yesterday.
Well, I think we've seen flashes of this all year long. I mean, the truth is, in the last 2.5, 3 games, we've played pretty good. I mean, we've only gotten 2 wins out of it, but they were 2 good wins, and with a little bit of luck, could have had a third. But they have played pretty good. Marcus has played pretty good. You know, we've thrown the ball. I think it appears that maybe we're starting to grow into this new offense. We talked about before the season ever started. You know, it kind of takes you about halfway through the season to where you can get to a point that you feel good enough that you understand it and you know where you're supposed to be and the quarterback knows where you're supposed to be and all of those type things. And I think we're maybe starting to see that. I thought we threw the ball, actually for the last couple of weeks, have thrown the ball fairly effectively. The ball's come out of his hands quick. He's been accurate with the ball. I mean, he made a couple of throws yesterday that were like off the charts.
Well,
you know?
The thing that we talked about too all week was, hey, what you did in the Cowboys game was good. But you can't fumble the ball to start the game like you did there. You can't turn it over like that. Or, hey, you know, the Chargers are a good team, and you really outplayed the Chargers for most of that game in London, but you can't give up the lollipop touchdowns, and you can't throw the ball away in the red zone. And they didn't do any of that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were on offense, you know, they were really efficient. He put the ball on them. They caught the ball well. I mean, Davis made a couple of catches. That one up in the air behind him, he looked like a power forward. I mean, he was going up to get that ball, and nobody else could have gotten it because nobody, you know, unless you were 6'5 or however tall he is, I mean, he skied to get that. So, I mean, I you know, you can go through, and I think there are a lot of positives.
How about Ferkshire's catch?
Yeah, Ferkshire showed up.
Plays 2 snaps and makes that one catch that basically extends a touchdown drive.
And a good catch. You know,
great,
I mean,
catch.
He's got good hands. That's obvious. But, I mean, this is the first time, I think, all season long where after a couple of games you can look at it and you can say, you know what, maybe we do have a chance. You know, maybe we are in the mix of this, middle of this thing. And if we can jump out and play the way that we have played for the last – or for the next 7 games, the way we played for the last 2 or 3, who knows? Maybe you got shot.
Whoa. Stop what you're doing, everybody. Stop what you're doing. Say that again.
No.
Say that again.
No.
Are you starting to believe in the Tennessee Titans?
I've always believed in
them. No, you did. No, you have not.
Let me say this. I wasn't the one that said, if they lose this week, I'm never talking about them again. They're dead. They're gone.
If they lost the Dallas game, they were
done. You've never heard those words come out of my mouth.
And they didn't lose the Dallas game.
Ever. So I have been the same all year long. And right now, I'm still the same.
No, but you're starting to say, you just said it's starting to feel like we, and that's what you say in reference to the Titans, it's starting to feel like we have a chance, and I have not felt that vibe from you this season after any big win. You know, it's always been, I'm glad they won, I'm this, that, and now here you are, and you think that they have a chance. Yes! Yes, Floyd is starting to believe.
Don't act like you're a believer.
Hallelujah.
Don't act like you're a believer.
Oh, I'm a believer.
No, you jump off of that wagon and back on that wagon so many times, you're going to get shin splints.
Ian, help me out here.
You're on a pogo stick.
Ian, help me out. Boing. Help me out. Who said they were going to win the division all offseason?
I guess you did say that.
Who has never wavered in their belief of Marcus Mariota?
You know what I realized, Ian, now?
I guess that's kind of true.
And Pawpaw Dean Pease.
I can't go all the way on that.
Oh, I believed in Pawpaw Dean.
Part of the reasons that on a daily basis we make 15 outlandish statements.
We can pick and choose a few that we get.
There you go. So you can come right back to them and say, hey, who was it that said?
There might be a little truth in that. Now, the other thing. I'm mad at the Titans. I am mad. You gonna ask me why I'm mad?
No.
Because how can that team yesterday lose to Buffalo? How? How does that team lose to Buffalo? How? Like, I'm looking at this right now. Like, I think, to me, it feels like the Titans and the Texans are both going to make the playoffs. The question is, who wins the division and who's going to be that last AFC wild card? But if you had just taken care of Buffalo and these loser teams like Miami, we would not be sitting here saying, you know, hey, you're still so locked in Cincinnati, Baltimore. I mean, it's a, like, how can the team that goes out there and dominates the New England Patriots, I mean, dominates them, dominates Brady, dominates Belichick, dominates those receivers, how do you lose to Buffalo? And that's why I'm mad at the Titans. Like, I watched a game like that yesterday. I'm like, you have no business losing to Buffalo. No business losing to Buffalo. And the other games bother me, too. Miami, Chargers, etc. But just no business there. But, boy, they look good right now. And I'm with you. It looks like they may have turned a corner. You know, like, they have really started to turn the corner. The one thing that I'm going to say is kind of keeping me from getting too out of whack today is that the Lions smoked them and the Lions stink. And who else beat them? Jacksonville. Jacksonville smoked them, and Jacksonville stinks. So before I get too excited about you smoking them, like, hey, so did Detroit. And Detroit is awful. So that is the one thing that I'm like, okay, hold up. You know, like it's a good win, and the Patriots didn't play well, and you showed some signs. But, you know, I'd say take it, you know, kind of slow it down a little bit. But that's how we are starting today. Your reaction to the Titans win over the Patriots. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. What a win. And again, how about them Titans? Coming up next, Marcus pulled off something yesterday that I'm not sure I ever thought was possible. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM are on a Titans Monday. It is a reaction Monday right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This season, they are minus 18 in the first and third quarters. They are a plus 81 in the second and fourth. Brady is sacked. Wesley Woodyard gets to the quarterback for Tennessee.
You know, they had a good plan, and I thought they did a good job executing it. I think you play from behind all day. You know, it's not very ideal, and we just didn't play well enough to make enough plays to ever score the touchdowns we needed to. But it was just a bad day.
Tom Brady, it was a bad day for him, not a bad day for the Titans and that Titans defense and that Titans quarterback. And so I want to get your thoughts on this, Floyd. You know, my dad texted me last night after the game, and he says he thinks this is the best win of the Mariota era. Now, it's hard for me to put yesterday's game, as good as it was, above winning a playoff game like they did against Kansas City. But, you know, they did dominate this game. And I'm thinking to myself, Marcus Mariota legitimately went out there and outplayed Tom Brady. Now, they didn't win the game solely because of Marcus. Everything was clicking. But Marcus outdueled Tom Brady. And I think, like, for a second, I have to think to myself, what does that mean? Your quarterback just went out there and outdueled the league MVP, the greatest quarterback who ever played, outdueled him.
Whoa, now.
He outdueled him. He outplayed Tom Brady yesterday.
Whoa, now.
I'm not saying he's better than Tom Brady.
I'll get carried away here.
No. I'm not saying he's better than Tom Brady, but he outplayed Tom Brady yesterday. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
He didn't play Tom Brady. He played our defense. Or their defense. I mean, I think if you did the did their defense stop them with all their, I would say no, they didn't. And I would hand that to, I thought Corey Davis was outstanding against their best corner. I mean, they couldn't run with him. He wasn't as physical. He couldn't jump with him. He couldn't do any of that. I thought, the young receivers, the guys we haven't heard much about, went in there. All of them made a play.
Batson,
along the way.
Jennings, yeah. Berkshire.
For all those guys.
Janu
killing it. 2 TDs, 2 weeks. I mean, he looked like the real deal running across there and catching the ball. So, got to get excited about him.
I don't think you can say that he didn't outplay Brady. Marcus clearly outplayed Brady yesterday.
All right.
That doesn't mean that Marcus is a better quarterback than Brady, because he's not. It doesn't mean that he's ever going to outplay Brady again, because, again, when they play, he probably won't. But Marcus had a great game. I mean, how many throws did Marcus just flat out miss? Where you're like, oh, Marcus missed that throw. That was not good. I don't think Marcus really missed a lot of throws. Tom Brady missed some throws yesterday. And a lot of that was the fact that, you know, Marcus turned in his A game. Brady probably turned in his D-plus game. And their stats were kind of, you know, Marcus had more touchdowns. But their stats were not that far apart when you consider.
Well, I think the thing that happened to Tom, two things happened. One, we got pressure where we needed to get pressure with totally different, unique, new people. And our secondary did a great job on their receivers. Nobody was open. You could watch Tom back there in the pocket pump it at least twice, which he never, ever does, at least twice, sometimes more, and still nobody open. He knew the pressure's closing on him. He just went down. So, I mean, we did an outstanding job in the secondary, I think, covering their people. And then, like I said, you get a sack and a half from Woodyard, a sack from Logan, a sack from, who was the other one?
Jayon Brown.
Brown, there you go. You know, I mean, not
Kilgo
one.
Kilgo made not, a play that almost sacked yeah, Brady. That
not one of your defensive linemen make a play, you know, including our best player who doesn't make a play, but Dean found a different way to find some of these other guys, integrate them into the pass rush, and it worked. And I think Tom had gotten to the point where he knew they weren't going to pick up the blitzes. They weren't really blitzes, but pick up the rushes. And he knew he was going to have to get the ball out immediately, and we were on him. I mean, we were covering him. And so he didn't have any place to go with the ball. You know, so he took, I mean, I don't know, what did he have, 3-4 sacks? And
three.
And probably another.
6 hits.
Is that it?
Yeah, but it felt more like 10
hits. Yeah, I mean, he was getting whacked every once in a while. So.
There was one play where I think it was Finch that had a great shot at him, and Brady threw the ball. And 5 years ago, Finch would have lit him up. But you could tell Finch, like, slowed down. And because it was Tom Brady, I think especially Finch made sure he didn't hit Tom Brady.
Smart move on his part.
And that was everybody played smart like that the whole game. And the other thing that got me about the game yesterday was every time I expected New England to make the play to get back in it, they never did. The one play they made yesterday that I said, oh, no, here you go. That fourth down and two or whatever it was when they faked it with Brady and didn't get it, and then they ran that beautiful play to James White, who was wide open and almost ran it into the end zone for a touchdown, and then they ended up handing it off to Devlin, the fullback, who got a touchdown. I'm like, okay, here they come. But every time I'm like, you know, the Patriots get the ball back with 6 minutes to go in the half down by 14, I go, okay, here they come. Brady's going to go right down the field, score a touchdown. And then they're going to get the ball to start the second half, you know, right on the field, score a touchdown, and everything good that happened in the first half is going to be, like, all for naught. And they never did. The defense, the special teams, they kept making the plays that kept New England from really getting back into the game like we all kind of expected New England to get back in the game.
Well, I was worried about when we started the second half because they had enough time, and I thought, okay, we're up. I think it was 24-10. You know, you're up 14 points. You really should be in great shape. But we all know with this team, it's just two series, and the first thing they do is go three and out, which is unlike them. Then we go three and out. And then, you know, I think we end up the next series, end up scoring. But anyway, I mean, when you finally went up again, no, we kicked a field goal, I think it was. And, you know, you're thinking to yourself, wow, I thought it'd be a 7-point game by now, or maybe a 10 at best. And here we are up 17. I'm good.
I tweeted out yesterday that the two most important, the two drives to start the second half were going to define the game. The first two drives of the second half. Because if New England had gone down and scored and you go three and out, then they're right back in the ball game and, you know, you're in trouble, which was my big fear. But I also thought if they go three and out and you score a touchdown and it's now 21 points, like that's where you're starting to even get out of the Brady range. And they kept looking for the kill shot and they didn't get it till about 8 minutes to go in the ball game when Derrick Henry ran it in off the Wildcat. But when they did, like that was the kill shot. And you knew, oh my God, they're going to beat the New England Patriots. So, that what a great win for the Titans. Now, I'm a little worried with how they're going to play next week just because I've seen this team way too many times. But a great, great, great win. Will you agree? A great win for the Titans.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you're within a month or whatever it's been, you've beaten the two Super Bowl teams.
And
so,
lost to Buffalo.
I mean, that's something you can talk about.
I told my friends he'd get a shirt that says champions of last year's Super Bowl, and then in small little print below it say, but also lost to Buffalo. Let's get to your phone, 615-737-1025. We start with Joe on a Titans Monday. Go ahead, Joe.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. Hey, how about them Titans, baby? How about them Titans? You know, I loved every minute of it. Every second of it. I'll tell you what, I didn't even think that was going to happen. I thought Titans were gone. But look here. Before I get off here, I want to say this. The Titans, I think, have took that next step as far as gelling together.
Whoa now.
Working well together. You know, I think they've taken that. And I think if they can just build on that. Now, they've got a tough stretch this next few weeks here. Especially these next two games. If they're going to have a chance to go in the playoffs, they have got to do well with what I call the gauntlet in the AFC, which is what they've got to go through these next few weeks. And if they do face the Patriots, I wonder how well they're going to do with Gronkowski being in it. I know we want to be, you know, all up in a roar and, hey, yay, Titans won. But let's be honest. Patriots weren't at their full strength yesterday. And I really didn't see Tom Brady make any audibles or any kind of adjustments to our defense, and that scares me. But yep. It's a great win, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Joe. Floyd?
I think, I would agree with you. I don't think he audible much. I mean, at an important time in the game, at a point in time where you needed to get things rolling with that offense, I don't know if you remember, but they went through a whole series of – they lost their left tackle, and then he came back, and then they lost their right tackle, and then he came back. And I mean, it was just switching the offensive line up and down and back and forth again. I think that was one of the major concerns for Tom. I think he was really worried about that. And with your third and fourth tackle in there, how much can you do? And so, a lot of those things I think – helped us, but I mean, you know what? We played a game with a fourth and fifth tackle too.
More of your calls, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Plus, there is one Titans player I'm really mad at. Yesterday made me mad. Oh, we'll get to that next too as well. And your phones, of course. Hey, join us Friday 5:45 where we'll select our picks on the big six games of both college and pro football action. Six-pack picks brought to you by Porvoo right here on Jared and the GM. I think I have come back down to earth in six-pack picks presented by Porvoo. But that is six-pack picks presented by Porvoo. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, the Game Nashville app.
Second and 15 for Tennessee. We approach 6 minutes to go, first quarter. Mariota, rainbow, end zone, caught, touchdown, Corey Davis, fantastic grab.
Corey just made a bunch of plays. And sometimes one of those deals, man, you feed the guy that's hot. And he made a bunch of big plays. And I think really for us, we need Corey to kind of continue to be that for us. When you've got a compliment like that and you can run the football, you can do different things, puts our offense in good situations and allows us to hopefully score some points.
That was Marcus on Corey Davis, and I am mad at Corey Davis, Floyd Reese.
Because?
How can you go out there against the Super Bowl champions and the AFC champions and light it up? Corey Davis yesterday, 7 catches, 125 and a touch. He had 2 touches in the playoff game against New England last year. He's killing the Eagles. He's killing the Patriots. And then it's like, where are you every other game, Corey? Corey! And then they go out there and they take it to... Remember how I said in the pregame show yesterday? I was like, I think they're going to put Stephon Gilmore on Corey Davis and take him out of the game. And the exact opposite of that happened. They put Stephon... Belichick was thinking like I was. And they put Stephon Gilmore on Corey Davis. And Vrabel was like, okay, you're going to put Stephon Gilmore on Corey Davis? I'm going to throw it to Corey Davis on every play.
I thought Marcus, the one pass that was in the first little blip there that he threw to Davis was a phenomenal pass. I mean, that was a big, big time pass.
Davis said after the game that the ball caught him, not he.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't walk out there and hand it to him any prettier than he threw that. That being said, there was a couple of plays where Marcus started to run and then pulled up and fed the ball to him. And I mean, there were two or three instances of that. And then the catch that was behind him and really high. I mean, some of those passes weren't, you know, as accurate as I'm sure Marcus wanted him to be. To Davis, it didn't matter. He just went up and got him or dove and got him or whatever he had to do. So, and again, you know, this is a couple of times we've seen this and, you know, all, I mean, the real deal now is that they're at a point in time where it's time to make your move or forget it. You know, I mean, one way or the other. And this, they've got a chance. They've worked themselves back into a position where they can make a move. They can go ahead and take this away from the other two teams largely in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. But if they can do that, then they're going to have a chance to really compete. If they can't do it, then, you know, it's going to be a sad year.
Well, and to Davis's point, like if Corey Davis lights it up next week against Indianapolis, which I think we should just all lie to Corey Davis, and we should all tell Corey Davis that the Indianapolis Colts are undefeated and that the Indianapolis Colts are coming off of an undefeated season last year where they ended up winning the Super Bowl, and then maybe Corey will go out there and play well against the Indianapolis Colts, because apparently if you play in the Super Bowl, Corey plays better against you. That apparently that's the case, because I'm looking at his game logs. I mean, Baltimore, 4 for 24. Even Dallas last week, where he was largely effective, 6 for 56. 3 for 10 against the Chargers. 4 for 49 against Buffalo. But hey, Philadelphia, 9 for 161. New England, 7 for 125. Corey, you like? I mean, I am ecstatic that he played the way he played yesterday. But I'm like, where were you the other games, Corey? Like, I know you got it in you now. Now you cannot tell me that you don't have the ability to go out there and dominate the Indianapolis Colts next Sunday. I know you have it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody doubts that. I think, we have to keep in mind the rush. We have to keep in mind who's throwing the ball. And I think we have to keep in mind who's covering. You know, how are they covering? Are they doubling? Are they taking? I mean, you see our group. I mean, who, if you're going to take somebody out of a game, who's it going to be? You know, I mean, you've seen your chances improve winning. If you take Davis out of the game, you let him get going, and I don't care who's covering him. You may have a long day.
Well, and on that one, like Stephon Gilmore, everyone was telling me, did you know Stephon Gilmore was the number one ranked corner in the NFL by Pro Football Focus entering the week? And I'm like, no, because I don't care about that stuff, because that stuff doesn't matter. I asked you yesterday, I think off the air, maybe it was on the air, I don't remember. I asked you, I said, who would you rather have, just straight up, Stephon Gilmore or Adoree Jackson? And what'd you say to me yesterday?
Adore.
And just watching football, I don't know what the metric websites tell me, but Adoree Jackson looked like an all-pro yesterday. And remember, Dallas wouldn't even throw it to Adoree Jackson. We talked about that on Tuesday and Wednesday about Dallas did not even look at Adoree.
Adoree really played well. And, I mean, he made some plays on some.
But don't tell that to Pro Football Focus because they got Gilmore as the best corner in the league, and Davis just lights him up. And so I am now officially holding Corey Davis to a higher standard. So if they lose on Sunday to Indianapolis, which I am very worried they will, and Corey Davis has two catches for 16 yards, then I'm going to kind of blame him for the loss because I know it's in him to go light these teams up. He can light it up. He lit it up yesterday. And by the way, mad props to him for lighting it up yesterday. I don't want to take anything away from that. It's just I look at all the other games like, where you been, Corey? Like, this is why you're picked fifth overall. Go up there and get it. Let's go back to the phones on Reaction Monday, 615-737-1025. Also, side note, how bad is Jacksonville?
Struggling.
Woof, they stink.
And it's not the quarterback, or it wasn't this week.
It's
the
defense. It's brutal. James has been waiting patiently. He's up next on a Titans Monday. What's up, James?
Hey, Jed. I'm going to ask you a question to answer your question about Buffalo, but first I got to say, Floyd, I don't know how you keep your sanity working with a guy who has selective amnesia every week. It's crazy. On Friday, he's talking about how we ain't got a chance with somebody like Ferkser. And on Monday, he's telling you that Ferkser made such a great reception. I don't know how you're not sipping bourbon over there on the sideline.
First of all, I don't even remember dogging Ferkser on Friday. But I do remember on the pregame show yesterday talking about Jennings and Ferkser being a key to the game. And Chris Sanders laughed at me.
Well, Jared, you're right. He says something different every day, so he's always right the day after. So, but I got to ask you this, Jared. Who was your favorite wide receiver, the great one coming out of preseason?
Nick Williams.
And who lost the Buffalo game for it?
Everybody.
No.
Oh, no, that was a collective team effort to lose.
Oh, don't give
if
me
Floyd,
that.
If Floyd is not going to give me.
Oh, come
here's
on
two,
if
this,
Floyd
here's
is
what's
not
going to
give me. Here's if he's not going to give me that Mariota outdueled Brady, then you cannot pin the Buffalo loss solely on Nick Williams.
Here's what's amazing. We're sitting here at 5-4. We are two plays away from 7-2.
Oh, my God, it kills me.
Nick Williams drops the ball in Buffalo, and then the two-point conversion in wherever.
Pick your play in the Charger game that you want to take away that gives it back to you.
I mean, that's two plays away from 7-2 and being top dog in the you were in tied with New England this week.
So this is where what's like kind of tough for me is. I mean, like, you know, no offense, but the Jacksonville win and the Philadelphia win doesn't look as nice as it did, you know, when you beat Jacksonville and Philadelphia. The Texan win still looks great because of what you were dealing with at the time. This win obviously looks awesome. But the way you played the Chargers, I mean, I think there's no doubt in my mind the four best teams in the AFC are, in some order, Kansas City, New England, Pittsburgh, and San Diego, right?
Probably.
Los Angeles, whatever.
Probably, yeah.
Those are the four best teams. Well, you smoked one of them, and you went toe-to-toe with the other one and should have beat them. You know, so on one hand, I'm like, man, the Titans might actually be a really, really good team. And then there's the other part of me that goes back to all the little plays they've screwed up this season where you're like, oh, my God, if you just score the touchdown to start the game against the Dolphins, do you win that game? Like, if you don't allow the Phillip Rivers lollipop touchdowns against the Chargers, do you win that game? Like, it was like I was waiting for the other shoe to drop yesterday, knowing that the Titans have those screwed up moments in them. And yesterday was the first game the whole season, other than the Texan game, where that shoe didn't drop and you were like, oh, no. Like, this was the one time this year where it didn't drop and they continued to pummel the other side of it. Let's go to Ken, who's up next here on a Titans Monday. What's up, Ken?
Hello, guys. Got to comment more for Floyd, actually, than Jared, because I'm a Houston Oilers fan from way back when, and this is the 25th anniversary of a disaster, and Floyd, I'm sure, knows it well. It's the anniversary coming up of Frank Reich, who's the Indy coach and his comeback leading the Bills in the playoffs all time.
Happy anniversary, Floyd.
Yeah, this is one I just assumed.
Misery
forget,
loves company, but, Floyd.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, I'm just commenting that it's a small measure of revenge, maybe, but maybe we can do a little payback against Frank Reich this Sunday.
Thanks for the call, Ken. I'm not sure one player on the team has any idea what he's talking about, except Brett Kern.
He and I do, though.
Because Kern apparently was in, like, Kern's from Buffalo, so Kern apparently was in the crowd for that game.
Oh, watch the game?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Plus, I hear Kern's a big fan, so, you know, if he's listening out there, hey, Brett, great job punting the ball. But it just, yeah. I mean, other than that, that call's totally useless to me. Let's take more phones. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. There are three things that I have never wavered in. Three things on this team that I have literally never wavered in, and I want to discuss those three things coming up next.
No, we are not going to discuss, because there are not three things you have never wavered in.
Ian? Nothing. You know the three things. Have I ever wavered in the three things? Don't tell the people what the three things are, but have I ever wavered in those three things?
I'm not 100% sure what those three things are, to be honest with you, but...
Let me ask you this, Ian. What are the chances he has wavered?
Probably pretty high.
No!
Yes!
Jared the GM! Hey, it is Veterans Day, and I think it's always important to go out there and to not only think about all of our fallen soldiers who have given the ultimate sacrifice on Veterans Day, but also every single person that has gone out there to represent the country. I look at Veterans Day as a day that gives all of us who have jobs that we love and families that we love and things like that, those people give us the freedoms to do everything that we like to do. Everything that our democracy stands for is defended by those people. And so Veterans Day is a big deal to me, and it's a big deal to our station. And Floyd, I know Veterans Day is a huge deal for you. So I just want to give a shout out to all of our current military and then, of course, all of our retired military on Veterans Day. And just know that we're all in this together as a country. And we thank each and every one of you for everything that you've given to your country every single day.
Amen. Couldn't agree more.
Jared the GM on Veterans Day and on Titans Monday. It's ESPN. Wonder, do you buy the game?
They had a wonderful game plan. They got Tom Brady off the field. The trick is, okay, can we get him to third down? And if we do get him to third down, can we get him off the field on third down? Patriots was 3 of 15. That's 20%. But the thing that they did the best, they shut off the run. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to make you one-dimensional. This is what the Patriots like to do. They like to throw all – most of their stuff happens between the numbers. The majority of those happen between the hashes. The Tennessee Titans says, what we're going to do, we're going to take away that first throw. We're going to challenge everything. We're going to play man coverage. We're going to challenge you. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to make Tom Brady clutch it to bring it down. Okay, Jones. Okay, Casey. Get home. Okay, Arakpo. This is your chance. They did a wonderful job. Four man, five man. They brought Wesley Woodyard, who had an unbelievable game yesterday. They blitzed the safety a couple of times. And they got safety, Skip. Kenny Vaccaro and Byard, they do a wonderful job.
Shannon Sharp loved what he saw out of that Titans game plan. That was today on Fox Sports 1. And don't expect a lot of national discussion to be about the Titans, but Shannon was giving the defensive game plan some love.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure he has any idea what he's talking about, but yeah.
Okay. So the three things that I have never wavered on, and Ian, I want you to back me up here because the person over here is biased. So, Ian, would you agree that I have never wavered on my belief in Marcus Mariota?
You are a Marcus believer.
Okay. I have always believed in that. Derrick Henry, again, 5 yards a crack yesterday, 2 touchdowns. They're not giving him the ball, but I have always believed in letting the big dog eat, correct?
You like Derrick Henry and you like the big dog eat, but you also do like Deion Lewis.
Yeah, but not like I like Derrick Henry. I mean, I like Deion Lewis too, but like I think like someone yesterday told me
you
they were like—
You can't ask a question and then
like,
guide him through
Derrick,
it.
No.
He gave you the answer.
They were like, someone said to me like, oh yeah, Derrick Henry's trash. I'm like, he's not trying to get 5 yards of crack. He's a good player. They just don't know how to use him right. And then Pawpaw Dean piece.
You like Pawpaw Dean.
And in fact, I said before the playoff game, I was worried about Dick LeBeau, and Floyd said, name me a coordinator, and he said, and I said, Dean Pease, and he was like, no, and because of that, I just would like to say that we have it on tape, the Thursday before the Patriots playoff game of Floyd Reese telling me that I was wrong for wanting Pawpaw Dean Pease Ian, if we could. And in this game, I mean, I don't see the Titans scoring 35 points. So,
well, yeah, but I mean, you can erase Dick LeBeau's name and put every coordinator in the league's name there. That's my point.
I mean, I would feel more comfortable with Steve Spagnuolo. He's been great. Dean Pease okay. has been really good against Tom Brady. I mean, I'm just telling you, Dean.
You know,
Pease,
Dean Pease was in New England,
and Dick LeBeau wasn't, which is another reason that
and
it kind of makes
England
me worried.
Fired Dean Pease.
Then why has Dean Pease been so good in Baltimore and other places?
Since how many Super Bowls they win at Baltimore?
One.
When he was there.
I think he was that coordinator in 2012, was he not?
I don't know, but you better check.
It was either him or Pagano.
Yeah.
No way it was Pagano.
I don't know who it was, but I know this. New England has won a whole fistful of Super Bowls since then.
So I wanted Dean Pease, and Floyd said no, no, no. And what did we see from that game plan yesterday? So as I put on the grid at 2:45, Jared wants an apology from Floyd. Because I'm the one who always has to do all the apologizing. I don't think I'm going to get an apology from Floyd.
I do not think so.
Has he left the studio?
He has.
Well, I just in spirit feel like that is an apology in and of itself.
Fair.
I mean, hey, look. Dean Pease, you got to give your credit to Dean.
Their game plan did look good. The whole
thank you
blitzing and dropping back, it was hard for him to figure out.
Thank you. So I'm just, for all the things I get wrong, I never get any credit for being right. And that was the one thing in the history of this show that I have gotten right. That is the one thing where I'm like, yes, I feel good about that. The one thing. Okay, you guys can tell Floyd he can come back in now because I'll just go right to the phones. 615-737-1025. Andrew is up next. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually calling from Myrtle Beach, originally from Vermont, so I grew up watching the Patriots. However, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan and haven't seen any Super Bowls. I'm just calling because I want to know how much the NFL was different at the Titans had Nick Williams not dropped that ball in Buffalo. And if we would have converted that two-point conversion against the Chargers, that would have been two more wins, and we'd be, what, 7-2?
Yep.
And I just feel like the Titans would get more respect. I'm not going a Taylor Lewan rant, but I just feel like people might be looking at us a little bit different because outside of Nashville and Titans fans, I don't think people really understand Tennessee football. They just see the box score. So I'm going to leave you at that, and I just want to hear your comments on that.
Yeah,
so
thanks for the call, Andrew. I would say this. I mean, if you're 7-2, everyone would give you the respect. The thing that I look at is, like, do we think the Chargers were that good of a team? Like, we knew the Chargers were pretty good, and Floyd loved the Chargers, you know, like, before they played the Chargers. But it's like the Chargers have become better since then because they haven't really lost. But I think if you win the Charger game, you know, Buffalo game aside, if you win the Chargers game, that's kind of the game where I think you've got a national TV game in London, national TV game on Monday night, big game everyone's talking about against the Patriots. I do think you would get some respect. But I think we learned after the Eagle game that the respect doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter at all. There's nothing to it that matters about, like, you know, are you getting enough national respect? Like, to me, who cares? Like, to me, it's about making the playoffs. Like, that's why I want the 7-2 record, because if you're 7-2 with a win over the Texans, you are in the driver's seat to make it to the playoffs and win the division. And that's what it should be at this point. To me, there are four teams in the AFC that are legitimately good: New England, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and the Chargers. So those are the four. Then there's you and the Texans, and I think those are the six teams, in my opinion, that should make the playoffs out of the AFC. But I could see somebody else that's like one of these 4-5 teams or something like that that gets hot and wins a 9-7, you know, second thing because you screw it up. And now at this point, when you look at the remaining schedule, the question is, are the Titans going to screw it up more so than it is anything else? Let's get back to your phone, 615-737-1025. But we'll ask Floyd this question next. What is the biggest difference about this Titans team after the bye week? Because they look different. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game National app.